right, so this is the last of our first panel, and so I just want to let everyone know that we're being recorded, and the recording will go on the website. If you go to the Bethesda Downtown Plan website, you can click on the Design Advisory Panel page, and the recording will be there. We're going to just have 45 minutes for this project, because it's a little bit special in that it's an amendment to a previously approved sketch and site plan, and so it should be a shorter review. We'll just do maybe a 10 to 15 minute presentation, discussion, and then at the end, about 5 to 10 minutes before we wrap up, I'll just confirm with the panel a summary of what has been said and if there are any conditions and what their thoughts are on your public benefit points. In about 2 weeks, I'll have the meeting notes to you all and to the staff, the lead staff reviewer, and it will be, the notes will be attached to the staff report for the planning board, and if there are any conditions, those will be included in the staff report. So we can go ahead and get started with introductions.
This is Chow Joy. I'm with Rosen Hartwell. I'm a landscape architect, licensed in Virginia and Maryland.
I'm Rod Hinder. I'm an architect, work for RTKL, senior vice president.
George Dove, architect, planner, urban designer, WDG Architecture, and TC Academy University.
Carl Dupuy, professor emeritus at University of Maryland, architect.
Damon Orbona, a real estate developer with Nova Habitat, a local real estate development company.
I'm Paul Mortensen, senior urban designer in the planning department, and I'm an architect.
I'm Pat Harris, land use counsel with Lurk, Charlie, and Brewer.
George Harrod with JBG Smith. I'm the development manager for the project.
Laura Croce with Shalom Baranes, the architect for the project.
Christy Smith with JBG Smith. I'm an executive vice president in our development group overseeing this project.
So I'll go ahead and begin. We filed, I just wanted to give a very brief overview, and then I'll turn it over to Laura to make the architectural presentation. Back in May 2016, the planning board approved the building which at 4747 for 284,500 square feet of office with ground floor retail. JBG was eager to get started on that and immediately started preparing their CDs and such, and actually the building now has permits and is under construction. Foundation to grade permit has been granted. In the spring of 2017, they filed a minor site plan amendment, which is the subject of this application, to make a minor adjustment to the penthouse. And that adjustment was always anticipated, and as Laura will explain, so the actual change of the plan is very, very minor, and we'll walk you through that. But the intent for us today is to explain what that change is, but obviously we want to put it in context, so we'll go through and the whole building design. The building was designed and approved before I think anyone even had heard the words Bethesda's design guidelines, but when they came out and we reviewed them, we were really pleased to see that a lot of the recommendations of the guidelines are actually incorporated into the plan. So with that, Laura, we'll walk you through the project.
Sure. First, I wanted to give a little bit of an overview of the issue as Pat just explained, this penthouse change issue, and then we'll go through the history of the project so that everybody can be on the same page. So this is an aerial view and a corner view taken from Bethesda Avenue and Woodmont Avenue, looking at the west corner of our project, that shows the approved massing that the planning board approved back in 2016. The next slide shows the change that we are filing for. So it's only an extension of 20 feet of that upper penthouse, if you will, volume of the building. So we wanted to start by setting up the scene of where all of this conversation is going to lead to, but also take you through the thought process. Since this is a project that was approved quite a while ago, we wanted to give you the whole background that has been on our minds for a long time now.
I think real quick, to taking a step back for basically with making the penthouse what was formerly a mechanical and kind of and support penthouse, now making it occupiable because the new sector plan gives us the height to do so. So that's the rationale, kind of why the amendment came later. So I just want to clarify that.
Did I just notice an animation? Does that?
That just shows basically the little change.
For the building.
It's been a long day. This should be a really easy case.
Good eyes. Good eyes. okay, so back when we started meeting with staff, back in 2014, The very first images that we showed for this project in terms of precedence and inspiration were always of interesting urban conditions where you had buildings that were, interesting massings, broken down, different skin types that really emphasized the fact that you had a new building that seemed like it already belonged there. JBG from the very beginning wanted to treat this corner with the importance that it has for Bethesda, right up Woodmont and Bethesda Avenue, the gateway to Bethesda Row. They wanted to treat it as something special, something iconic, but that didn't feel like just another office building, but more something that belonged to the neighborhood with good scale and this good sense of interlocking different shapes and different skins that made it feel almost more residential than just another office building. Another slide, we studied a lot with the team, conditions of buildings that have to be adjacent to existing ones. This is an infill site, so we had to interact with the artery building to the east of us, the phase one of the project that was going to be that lower retail volume that you see built today. So we studied a lot of conditions like cantilevers over the public space, different skins that have to interact with each other, because we wanted to make sure that felt purposeful, not as a mistake or something that you couldn't resolve, but actually a condition, for example, the cantilever or the mixing and matching of very different types of facades, like, for example, the historic brick facade here with a very modern curtain wall and fiber cement panel, making sure that was celebrated and designed instead of just another unhappy neighbor relationship. Finally, the facades for the building, the owner from the very beginning expressed the idea of not having a 100% glass box. They wanted a skin that was rich, that was colorful, that was interesting, and as the architect, we very much supported that idea from the very beginning. We felt that it was not only interesting architecturally to show the power of a newer and more rich facade, but also more appropriate to the site, to something that, again, will be at the edge of more the commercial zone towards Wisconsin, but also the beginning of Bethesda Row, a facade that had more character, more scale, more color. So we ended up here, which is an all-glass, floor-to-ceiling glass curtain wall, very efficient, but with this decorative stainless steel, curved stainless steel panel. So they are bronze-colored because this is a bronze-colored stainless steel. It's a chemical process that is done to stainless. I actually brought a little sample that I can show you guys later because it's very beautiful. That defines the primary facade type for our building, this two-story frame articulation that is used for all the primary volumes, let's say, of our composition. And at the base, you see the existing building that is out there today, the market, which we usually call the market building, and then the rest of the retail facade that has a different facade type. I'll go into more detail later, but you, from the very beginning, you start to see how we use different facade types, much like those precedents showed, to highlight the different pieces of the building, to make sure that it didn't feel like something monotonous, but the opposite, something very rich and very sculpted. This is a rendering, an early rendering of the facade concept. So here you see the curved stainless steel and embossed panel. We went with that very modern material, but a more traditional shape on purpose to create that balance between something very new and something very classic that gave beautiful shadows, beautiful changes of color. And what you see towards the left is the visual mock-up that is actually up there in Canada right now. And we like to show these images together because we're obviously very excited and very pleased about how our very initial concepts are holding true and are starting to take shape. So a very exciting time for the project. To take it a step back again and talk a little bit about massing, and as Pat mentioned, the analysis that we, from the very beginning with staff, we went through during the master planning of the project. Compatibility was always a key issue for this site. The owner recognized from the very beginning that they wanted to create this backdrop for this very important corner of the city, of Bethesda, a backdrop for a hopefully great public space that will be one of the key points of Bethesda Row and Bethesda as a whole. So the massing and the articulation of this building was always very important to us and something that we really thought about many, many times.
And for the group, they may not know that area that you were saying is a very important area is being acquired by Park and Planning as a public park. It will have, for interim period, staging for the Purple Line, but after the Purple Line is done, that area, which right now is sort of the front of the movie theaters and that area, will be acquired for a public park.
That's great. I think I read about that in the paper this morning.
Yeah.
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 Yeah, I think that's really great.
Yeah, I just to orient ourselves, I know you all are very familiar with this, but here you see Bethesda Avenue. We're looking northeast in this aerial view, Woodmont Avenue, Barnes & Noble here, and as Wen was pointing out, the what we call Woodmont Plaza with the future entrance to the Purple Line and the relocation of the Capitol Crescent Trail running through this zone. I feel that with staff, again, because this project has been on for quite a while, we've almost built all of these ideas and these guidelines together.
Mm-hmm.
It's always been this very rich discussion that it's incredibly exciting to finally see come true. So as I was saying, the project has a very strong retail pedestrian scale base formed by the market building with a very distinct facade type and facade treatment that then changes as it becomes the building, the base of the office building, and then changes again when it comes to the tower scale. The main move of the tower portion of the building was to divide it in different blocks, different pieces that gave it scale and then accentuated the main objective, which was to step down the scale towards the plaza, towards the west orientation, which we believed was the most important one that we needed to give a nod to. The eastern portion of the project, let's call it the eastern volume, is the taller one, and because it's the taller, it's very deliberately placed towards the east, towards the mid of the center of the block, and from that point, the building starts to step down and break down more and more to start to adjust to the lower heights that the city will have towards the west. These setbacks that you see, and I'll go into further detail in the next slide, the setbacks not only help breaking down the scale and adjusting the scale of the building, but also provide amazing opportunities for green and for use that, again, are going to be to make this building very, very different and very special from many other office buildings. The next volume that you see is the southern one, which runs along Bethesda Avenue. And that one, even though it's not a very big building in terms of footprint, we work carefully with the interior planning designers to provide these pretty deep setbacks along it. We have the challenge here of providing a good planning layout for a spec office building, desirable for any kind of tenant and sustainable in terms of real estate. Desires. So we wanted to still provide all of those things that make the building viable, but give this very articulated sense right at the corners of the buildings where we believed it has the most impact. So the west corner and the east corner push in from the main facade plane 20 feet at the west and 15 feet at the east to provide this deep setback so that not only create great corner offices, but also form this very iconic corner condition that is the main one that we wanted to create for the building. Here you see a more detail of what those setbacks are. So the building steps back 20 feet from the Woodmont Plaza side, another 40 feet at the very top for that taller eastern volume that is the one that we're here to discuss. And then again, as you follow the shape of it along Bethesda Avenue, part of it is at the property line, but both corners notch in to create deep setbacks and alleviate the and reduce the length of the facade overall. And this is a drawing showing the very almost perfect office leasing plan that we were still able to achieve. But creating that balance between the necessary leasing spans that we absolutely had to provide, but also the priority of an urban condition that we always had at the very back of our heads as the ultimate goal for the project. Here's a view of the penthouse level plan. Now we're all the way at the top, looking at the large setback, the 40-foot setback that we have at the very top of the building. And this shows the conversion that the project is presenting now to the board. Originally, when we first presented the project, this penthouse or this top volume level used to end right here. As Christy explained, situations changed, heights changed, and instead of growing taller with the project, the owner decided to convert part of this mechanical penthouse into occupiable space. So for that to be viable and to allow for further circulation and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, we added 20 feet to this volume, which is what you see here, and converted it into an amenity area, a large amenity area for the whole building, and a private suite towards the south of the project with a private terrace also. This amenity area is going to be basically the most prominent open space of the building. It's cladded in the main facade type, not just a common metal panel and louver enclosure, but it has this the same curtain wall that the rest of the building has, and these huge operable garage door style openings that really open up that room directly into the main terrace of the building, taking advantage of the west and southern views of the project. This slide shows again that initial thought of creating this cascade of terraces that show how the project steps down towards the west and opening up views and corners towards the south. We believe that we were successful in creating this very articulated massing. If you remember the precedents that I showed at the beginning, very articulated massings, very rich facade types that show the quality of this development and the importance of this site. So hopefully you guys agree, and we're here for questions and comments, absolutely.
So I'll start us off. I think I love this building. I think it's beautiful. I think if I was an architect, which I'm not, I'm probably the only one here that's not, this is the design language that I'd be pushing for. I think it's simple yet distinct. I really like it. I think you guys did a great job.
I agree. I looked at it, and I don't really have any criticism to make. I think you've enhanced it by putting activity up there. I'm curious who's it for.
We can't tell yet.
That's okay. But
we can say that JBG Smith has leased space in the building, so that's what's publicly out there.
Yeah, I've heard that. I think it's a very elegant building. I've wondered about that building, that retail building that's been built below it. Just to me, it always seems so strange to me. And I'm glad you're building over
it.
Yeah,
it's because
makes it feel better.
Yeah,
I think it's great. I love the curtain wall system. I think it's nice.
And it will, and just to reiterate, that curtain wall system on the penthouse is going to wrap, it's going to be on the west facade, it's going to wrap all, you know, down the south facade. So, you know, that design element will be continued throughout.
It's, you know, what's nice about it, it has this kind of calmness to it in a corner that has a lot of architectural language going on.
Mm-hmm.
And it sets itself apart. Because of that, it comes across very tailored to me.
Yeah. Thank you.
And the idea that you're utilizing the rooftop the way you are, which is where everything is going today, I mean, you know, how can we have been abandoning rooftops all these years? We found it with the residential projects, it's some of the most exciting spaces in town on building. But I think the fact that you're doing that is philosophically exciting and satisfying and enough to justify whatever criticism might be going on. The second thing is, I think that, you know, your little perspective that showed where the little piece shows up, that that little bit of complexity actually enhances the overall.
I agree.
Feeling of the building. Yeah. It's one of there is a. I'm sure when you drew that you said, "My goodness, look at that."
Yeah.
Needless to say, the building is the idea of the bronze stainless in a semicircular fashion as a framework for your facade is unique and exciting, forward looking, and we're all looking forward to seeing the finished product.
Yeah. Converting the top was very, very important, actually, because otherwise you had nothing up there. What is the, as the building protrudes out into Fezza, what is the side elevation of that?
The other side?
The glass part.
That glass part there.
Yeah,
so this that part is the same glass, but without any embellishment. It's just a clean, taut glass curtain wall, and the idea of the sides being very, very clean and simple is to articulate the heavier frame more as a plane, almost something looking like the plane that used to be back there got extruded out, and it's floating
out
there.
You pull the whole facade.
Right.
So that's why the corresponding part of that niche is got the
it has the this piece here,
yeah,
it has the articulation,
right.
Yeah,
so that be great.
It'll be interesting to see how you turn that corner though.
Yeah,
inside corner as well as the outside.
We were just talking about it.
Yeah.
It's a tough detail, but we tried it many different ways.
Yeah.
As I'm sure you guys know, we always try everything many different ways, and it was surprising how tying it back together with the same type. We always wanted the building to be very simple and very geometric, very pure. But tying it back, it all of a sudden made it heavy and very ominous. And just separating each face and having this sort of connecting tissue in between helped a lot.
But that could be recessed slightly, and so that plane can come past, and so you have kind of a reveal.
Reveal between, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Where that whole plane comes through.
Yeah.
I think that would be important, because otherwise that corner is going to be really difficult to detail.
We're in the process of figuring out that detail now.
Are they going to move the mock-up down here?
We don't have any space on site right now.
We've got a big hole in the ground with buildings all around us.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
And are these recessed balconies the partners' offices?
those are optional for the tenants. We're in discussions with the tenants, and we'll see if they take them.
I hope they do.
It's
the building.
That's important.
It's an interesting element, and you know we've presented it to them, and we'll see what they say.
It's a real.
At the minimum, we do have
function.
That on top of
yeah.
the existing structure.
Follows
the. We have a very large
money.
Terrace going across
the
entire
money.
Roof of that structure.
Yeah.
Right.
At the fourth floor.
And I think Laura may have stated this, but on the penthouse terrace, that is an amenity for the entire building. So any tenant is going to have access to that. And then you can see, I don't know, south terrace, that's a private terrace for whoever takes the office space.
Yeah, the one I was asking about was the one that's overlooking the movie theaters.
Right, and so the idea behind making that the common amenity for the building is that that really is truly like the wow moment, and we want everybody to be able to share that, but it's also nice to be able to, you know, present the private terrace to, you know, office prospects to say, not only will you have this great amenity right next door, but you'll also have the ability to sort of have really truly your own space there.
And that terrace, the landscaping of this whole portion of the building is pretty impressive, pretty nice. It's very simple, but it's very lush, and it has this decks and dining spaces tucked in and around the green, so it's going to be a very great exposure in terms of sunlight,
so a very special place. We did put pretty robust, you know, trellises up there for shade purposes, given that we're
facing
west. Mm-hmm. And we find that that's a big miss in rooftops, is, you know, without shade. It's actually pretty interesting when, as you get up, you know, tall there, because you have buildings across the street with their rooftops. It's just kind of an interesting interplay at that corner.
How does this compare in terms of height to the condominium building right across the street?
It's, so the 14th, well, so there's two buildings right across the street. So the
one,
condominium
the
building.
On. Yeah, that one.
Yeah, the Darcy. So that, we are, I think it's at the 11th or 12th floor of our building where we are above them. We see over them.
Oh, you're above them.
Yeah, and then the Seasons
is probably taller.
The Seasons is taller, and that, I think it's at our, it's only at our penthouse level where we are above them.
When these drawings first came in, there wasn't as much detail. One of the questions I had was the detail of the penthouse all around, because I think maybe what you're getting at, but right behind where the Apex building is, you're going to have some very large buildings looking down on this. And so there was at least my concern was to make sure that there was detail on that penthouse that made it look, you know, as elegant as the rest of the building, because you're going to have a lot of people looking at it this way.
Well, that's what I was wondering. I was wondering whether the existing buildings had the benefit of looking down into this terrace. But the Darcy, no, but obviously the redevelopment that's going to occur in the Apex building certainly has.
Yeah. But nothing's between you and San Francisco, right? Looking west.
That's correct. Yes.
Pretty much. Yes.
Do you mind if we use that one?
That's a great marketing line.
Yeah, I like that.
When is the expected completion date?
First quarter to second quarter of 2019.
Base building, yeah.
Yeah, base building.
Okay, we're projecting that overall completion towards the end of 19.
And just out of curiosity, when will the existing retail building be fitted out and open up?
That we don't have a comment on today in terms of the timing. We can't commit to anything on that timing right now.
So you're involved with that?
The existing retail building?
Yeah.
Yeah, we own the existing building as well.
So could we talk a little bit about public benefit points and how many you're requesting and your justification?
I can give you a... Find it. Hold on. I can tell you that we exceed the 100 that are required, obviously. And when we first submitted this, you know, we had taken, it was under the old zoning ordinance, which allowed for public benefit points for transit proximity, which were 40 points. But we were no longer able to take that, and so we've
just asking.
30 points.
Yeah.
Just to design.
Oh, I'm sorry. So we're seeking 30, the maximum, the 30 points for exceptional design points.
The whole building or just an addition?
The whole building.
Good question.
Well,
good
point.
Yes.
I know, it's sort of this.
Right.
Back in.
We have to.
And get sort of their approval all over again with the new rules, even though they're just doing that extension of the 20 feet. So it's under the new point system. So it's for the whole building.
Because they're taking advantage of the additional height through the new plan. So therefore, they have to come back in through the new plan.
That makes sense.
It's as if they started over.
Yeah, I gotcha.
So it is for the whole building that they're asking the design points.
Is there a way to see the site plan? Because I haven't seen the site plan. I guess it was approved.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
Because it's 100% coverage, right? Mm-hmm. Essentially.
Right.
Yeah. For all practical purposes. It's hard.
So the entire site plan, the project actually included existing artery building. So the actual site plan, you'll see.
But the whole thing is an addition.
It was all under one sketch plan. So
you want to outline
we had.
What's one? Site that's considered for the application.
Yeah, so for the application was done in conjunction with the artery building, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So essentially, this is the line of the edge or
whole bullet.
The whole, okay. So including the existing market piece, our new building, and the entire artery parcel.
So there is a lot of open space.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Deciphering this is a little bit above our pay grade, I'm sorry.
It's a complicated one, yes.
Well, I mean, it's difficult because essentially you're designing that building, you're not designing that space out on Wisconsin Avenue.
No.
But it's part of it.
But it's part of the deal. I mean, in a sense.
Yes,
mm-hmm.
That's correct.
That's a bit of a problem, isn't it? That space is a lot to be desired.
We've been working on that. We've been focusing on that.
They are working on that space to renovate it.
Right. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So we can use that as being a sense of place and mm-hmm. serves as a landmark, right? The building, I have no problems with at all.
It's beautiful.
But I have difficulty with the public benefit unless, you know, there's the public realm is enhanced in a way. Public realm. I mean, we've got a street, we've got the air rights over a market building.
Mm-hmm.
But
well,
you're not involved with mm-hmm. the new park because it hasn't been.
Well, that's.
We are.
Well, there are a series
but
of.
Indirectly, you are because you're enhancing that. So
we
I'm,
are. Yeah, we
I'm
are
just,
doing improvements to that area
yeah.
directly in front of our building. It's just outside of our
right, two portions.
Property
right.
boundaries.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So it can't technically count, correct if I'm wrong with the actual nomenclature, but we can't technically count, but we are doing pretty extensive improvements directly in front of the existing market building
mm-hmm.
That are actually almost complete now. So those will be for the public.
And I would,
access
yeah,
as
I
well.
Would agree that that's probably a pretty good public benefit
oh, yeah.
from this project, the market building itself, not even considering the park that mm-hmm. MNC PPC is about to acquire.
Yeah, I think the concept of the public benefit points, you need to get a total of 100, and there's various categories. What we're focusing on right here is simply the exceptional design attributable to that building.
Right, because there are those points.
Do you need 30?
We feel like it's an exceptionally designed building.
I agree. We had some conversations earlier to this in terms of how you achieved the full 30 points.
I guess I would say if every building in Bethesda were designed like this, this board probably never would have even had to be formed.
Yeah.
And so we are setting the standard, and so that's why
right.
we think we deserve 30.
For the building, but
yes.
I'm concerned about the public realm because that is one of the findings that we have to...
Yeah, enhancing the public realm
enhancing the public realm
in an original manner.
What's confusing about this project is that it is part old existing
mm-hmm.
and part new building.
Mm-hmm.
And the old existing is where the public space is.
Yes, exactly.
And that public space probably doesn't merit 30 points for being a wonderful public realm.
Right.
But... this particular project is sort of an unusual amalgam of old and new, and I think that the amendment we're talking about really only relates, even though it's all part of one project, really only relates to the new building. So I don't know if that helps.
Well, the other thing I would say, and Christy sort of touched on this building is happening in conjunction with the improvements immediately to the west of the market building.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't, I think, have a plan of that.
I don't think I've done
but it is a 50-foot wide strip of land that's being improved with the bike trip path with special pavers, landscaping, bio retention.
Outdoor seating.
That will ultimately flow into whatever
right.
Parking
it's
planning
right.
does.
Does JBG,
is
JBG selling that?
That's essentially the capital.
Do you own that right now?
Well, I know exactly.
It's a public
right of way,
so we're improving
right.
within
but
the public.
But seeing that footprint and seeing that plan would be very
yeah,
helpful.
Very
right?
Helpful.
Yeah.
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 Because that's the public benefit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We can. Maybe while we're chatting, Laura might be able to find a file that shows it. But to your point, and as Christy just said, just so everybody's on the same page, that land is not owned by JBG Smith. We are improving it through a public right-of-way permit.
Right. But that's what we're looking for.
And we are, and actually, yeah, if you zoom in on this, this might show you a little bit, but there's landscaping and the, you know, purple line aside, we've run the Capitol Crescent bike trail basically straight through the middle of that 50-foot wide swath with the intent of, you know, improving the bike experience for...
Oh, that's right.
Well, let me say two things, and I think Laura was thinking the same thing.
Yeah, maybe.
In the design guidelines, the design that was set forth there was based on the design that we provided for Reed Street. The other thing is that we are providing, Robert just reminded me, along Bethesda Avenue, we are providing the cycle track for the on-street Capitol Crescent Trail, and we're making those improvements as well.
But this begins to show some of the improvements.
I have another part of the benefit. We're tearing down the existing building and replacing it with something far.
So demolition is very important.
Yeah.
And I say this with tongue-in-cheek because I think my firm designed it about 50 years ago.
Oh, that's funny.
Well, you designed a very structurally sound building.
That is true.
It was quite a challenge to take down, so... we're done now, so that's exciting.
That's a legitimate public benefit.
Yeah, well, I'm glad that you feel that way.
I'm sorry, it's not a site plan, but sense of how it fits in.
Right.
So is the Capitol Crescent Trail going to come under Wisconsin?
Yes, the trail comes across the plaza, goes under where the purple line is. By the demolition of the Apex building, we actually have a better trail. And then at the point of Wisconsin Avenue, it has to become a county project to take the trail under Wisconsin. And that section under Wisconsin has not been designed yet, but the county has committed that they will do that section.
Okay, because that's new information for me. Yeah.
The alternative surface route will be constructed in front of our building in the current parking lane on Bethesda Avenue, and our project made a significant contribution to the county towards
as an interim.
For the interim surface track.
Yeah. Okay.
So did we conclude on whether or not we suggest that this building achieves a very point, or did we suggest another number?
We need additional discussion because that's how I feel.
We're not objecting, are we?
We're not objecting, but...
Well, I think it's a good building. I just wish I understood what
how
public...
it all fits together.
Yeah, I really do. It's not because of the building.
Do it based on the building, this office building. If you were to make the decision on the office building itself, would it
receive
30 points?
My opinion, yes. Without a doubt, it meets these guidelines here in the CR implementation. Everything I've seen in the design guidelines, it seems, especially with this site specifically being laid out, like you just showed us, it seems like it fits with what the design guidelines, the intent of the design guidelines. So I think it's fine.
Well, I think it's fine because it's been approved. And all they're asking for is... variance, if you will, because they designed a better top, and so therefore I'm willing to vote for it, but I would counsel us that we have to be rigorous on the design of the public realm on these kinds of projects, that we can't just because the building is terrific a priori say it's a automatic 30. Mm-hmm. And we as a group have to decide what's the difference between 30 and 20 and 10 and 15 and 17.5, etc.
So if you don't know, today's the first time we've ever met.
Yeah. Right. Bear with us.
Right. And you should not be penalized.
We're learning how to do this.
Because essentially It's been approved.
Well, and
all we're doing is approving something that's much better than what had been
approved
before.
Yeah.
Right. We would agree.
We've been struggling, yeah, I think collectively with that.
Thank you.
Well, thank you, Robert.
See, I don't throw much away.
And you can find it. That's
and you can
more
find
impressive.
It.
That's
half
more
the battle.
Impressive, yeah.
Oh, wow.
That's just because Leslie told me, reminded me where...
This is the face of our existing building, the market building.
What is this right here?
That's an old notion prior to that becoming a part.
Right. So you guys are doing this?
Yes.
Yep.
That's
and,
cool.
And this is kind of blends into just more lawn because that's kind of it's kind of blended, obviously, to park and planning's ultimate park design.
And it, and that work is close to complete now. So it,
you mean the design work or the construction?
Construction
work
is it's almost done.
Because they built the market building and they're doing those improvements in front of the market building now.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Okay.
What's also important to note, Leslie actually just noted to me, is that the streetscape in front of the building as well, along Bethesda, is also
sure.
And all the ground improvements, so that's something that the panel can also consider to improve walkability.
Is
that?
I know this is just in case there's something over here.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I mean, more if you wanted to highlight what you did along, or do you have anything on what you did along Bethesda Avenue in terms of streetscape improvements?
No.
I don't know if there's any special paving. I know you did street trees.
No, I understand.
Okay.
I agree with Carl that, you know, this was approved and it's a beautiful building and there's somewhat public benefit in terms of streetscape improvement. And I think it should be approved as well, but maybe in the future, something like this, we need to have additional information like what was approved before. Or,
mm-hmm.
You know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this will be a unique condition, this plan, so versus the others that come in.
So mm-hmm. I'm with other members of the panel. My only concern would be coming across as being arbitrary and giving 30 points without kind of a consistent way of evaluating these.
Right.
Yep.
We need to come up.
And I would say in the future, if somebody wants to come in and ask for 30 points, they need to demonstrate how they're hitting all these categories.
Right.
And what you haven't demonstrated is really the improvements to the public realm.
Right. At the very least, they should address these, what, five or six
mm-hmm.
points? One, two, three.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the ones that we saw today
right.
did
exactly.
This particular one, I don't think
no,
broke
because
it out like that.
My understanding was is that by adding this better top, it should have been just automatic.
Yeah,
I think we struggled with a bit because the real focus was just the minor addition.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm taking notes because I'm going to be before you in two
right,
weeks
right.
with two others. And so I think it's helpful to take the subcategories
yeah,
set forth
right.
and address each one.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
So this is clearly outside of that.
Right, exactly. Right. That was
and
what
just
we struggled
with. And just so the panel members know, the new projects that are coming in, the applications that are coming in for downtown Bethesda under the new plan, we are asking them at sketch plan, when they say or they pick exceptional design, we ask them to give us a narrative and
mm-hmm.
explain to us which categories they're meeting under there and how.
Good.
Okay,
good.
So hopefully
perfect.
With the future
yeah,
you'll have a little more explanation in this sketch plan. The early on versus
right.
this is a unique condition.
But to reiterate again what Leslie had said before, the first 10 points are based on the categories.
Yes.
The last 20 are discretionary.
Yes.
So, I mean, it is your decision
yeah.
whether or not it needs it or not.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think I hear a consensus.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Sounded like it.
Great. So
awesome.
There's consensus on the 30 public benefit points, and that it sounded like from the discussion, folks think it's a beautiful building and there weren't recommendations for changes or conditions when it goes forth to the planning board.
There was one that I heard, and they were hoping that there would be balconies, like the internal balconies
yeah.
that they showed.
I agree with that.
Yeah,
I think that's important to keep those if possible.
Mm-hmm. I think those are truly...
Especially for JBG's floors.
I think those are truly up to the tenants, so I think
right.
it would be...
Balconies.
I mean...
But
we can't commit
why?
To doing those.
Yeah, they were approved on, the site plan was approved without them,
mm-hmm.
and it was only after the site plan that there was the optionality that was offered individually to tenants. Until they have their tenants, they're not gonna know that.
So, I mean.
Well, that's part of the project's appeal, to be honest.
Yeah, could we make that a condition of?
Condition of the points, that they do not achieve 30 points unless they have the balcony section.
I like that.
I don't know if I wanna go that far, but.
Go that far, because you probably don't need 30 points, you probably only need 20 points.
Well, can I just say, I think to assess that after the fact.
Yes.
Because they're not gonna decide that until they get a tenant, and it's probably not. I mean, by that time, you'd have a plan that's already been theoretically approved by the board, so if we come back and change that, I think would be a little difficult. That's just my take on that. I think you go with it now, and, I mean, if the balconies are that important, then either you need to change the point system. I think you need to say it's either 25 or 30.
Right.
That's up to you, but I think if it's contingent on the balconies, then you need to rethink the point system.
I think you, I don't know if it would be contingent, but I think you mention it.
Yeah,
so that it's
I would definitely like that in the recommendation to the planning board that
okay.
The panel
really
encourages that.
Encourages, right.
Okay.
Okay, great. So 30 public benefit points for exceptional design and balconies are recommended and encouraged by the panel. Great.
Sounds good.
Great.